Okay, is this live? Yeah. So yeah, John didn't do a good job of introducing me. I'm David Irwin. Our project's called Vice, which is what John said, a virtualized sensor network. So I'm working with a bunch of other people at UMass. Mike Zink, who's actually here today, he's a research faculty at UMass, and then Prashant Chinoy, Jim Caruso, and Deepak Ganesan. So I'll say that Jim Caruso was supposed to give this talk today, but he was recently appointed dean of the School of Natural Sciences and Mathematics at UMass. So being dean apparently takes a lot of time. So he wasn't able to come, but I'm here to give the talk. So like the title of our project states, we're about sensor networks and how sensor networks kind of fit into the Gini framework. So I pulled these two quotes out of the Gini system overview to kind of remind myself what sensor networks and how they fit in. So the first quote is, in 10 years, most computers will be small sensors and actuators to monitor health, traffic, weather, pollution, science experiments, etc. And the second quote is, it would seem odd if in 10 years we were still living in an internet that did not take into account the needs of the majority of the computers deployed. So like I said, we're really about sensors, and that's kind of in the title. But in particular, we're looking at actuation and actuators, because actuation is what really drives a sensor, the kind of data it collects, and how useful it is to users. So by actuator, I mean some sort of physical actuator, some sort of physical mechanism that causes a device to be turned on or off, adjusted, or, as some examples I'll provide later, moved. And so if you think about computing devices, really nearly any computing device has some set of actuators that cause the physical characteristics of the device to change. So I could name some actuators for processors like voltage and frequency scaling, actually change the physical characteristics of the device. There are lots of actuators for NICs and wireless NICs and disks too. But for sensors, actuation is really key because it determines the data type, the quality of data you're collecting, the quantity of your collecting. And some of the examples here are just, you know, very simple ones. Sampling rate, steering if you have a directional sensor. The amount of power you apply to a sensor can affect the quality of the data. And what's nice about sensors, too, as opposed to some of these other devices, is that sensors kind of inherently export this actuation capability up to applications. Because applications, you know, are driving these actuators to sense their environment. And what's also nice about actuation in the context of Gini is, you know, I picture Gini as this big control framework that's changing all of these different resource allotments between all of these different slices. And in terms of a sensor network, actuation really indirectly affects all of your resource usage. So if you're, if you're actuating in such a way as you're detecting a ton of data, you have to send that data somewhere. So it's going to require some bandwidth. If you're not sending it somewhere, you're going to have to store it. And if it's too much to store or to send, you're going to have to compress it or aggregate it in some way to process it. And all that's going to take energy. So it really kind of cuts across a lot of these different areas. So they're really a broad range of sensor networks. So I just put this up here because even now when I think of sensor networks, I think of these tiny little moats, right? Or something like a vehicular network where, you know, you have these computers going around in cars. We're focused on a little bit something different right now. Actually, at UMass right now, there's this large NSF Engineering Research Center that actually cuts across four universities. That's very much focused on weather sensing and how we can improve weather sensing across the country, basically upgrade the NEXRAD radar system that you see on your local weather forecast. So I'll give a couple examples of from CASA about how they're looking at actuation and how we're taking some of that work and applying it to Gini. So just to give an overview of what we're actually doing, so we're deploying a test bed. Where we want to be able to experiment with actuation. So in addition to slivering CPU memory, network bandwidth, like a lot of these other projects are doing, we want to be able to virtualize and sliver sensors. So some of the infrastructure we're bringing here was kind of initially prototyped under the guise of CASA, in the Engineering Research Center. So basically, we have three or four nodes. They're deployed on fire towers, buildings around the Amherst area. They're solar powered, weatherproof. They actually get some AC power as well when we can get it. They're networked via long distance 802.11b directional antenna. So these things are like 10 kilometers apart. They're on the different mountains in the area. They have a bunch of sensors attached to them. So like I said, I'll talk about the radars in a second, but they have a radar, a weather station, and a pan-tilt zoom camera. And since a lot of these places are actually in inaccessible locations, one of the things we've done recently that hadn't been done before is we added some features to get to them, basically a backplane, a little embedded node connected to a cell phone modem, essentially, so that we can log into them if something happens. These fire towers are actually inaccessible during the winter unless you want to hike 3 or 4 hours up a mountain with 2 feet of snow on the ground. So anyway, below there, these are just some of the pictures of the infrastructure. On the left is just a picture of the node. On the middle is actually one of the deployments on a fire tower in a mountain in Amherst. So I'll just say that Mike is actually the one who hung out the window with a 40-pound radar and lifted it up there while someone was holding his belt, so he didn't fall off the mountain or fall off the tower. I wasn't going to do that. So, and then on the right side is just kind of a Google map showing that these things are pretty far apart. So just to give you an example of like what I mean by like better actuation, what that can do to kind of bring it home. This is an example that I've taken basically from CASA, and this is one of the motivations for the CASA Engineering Research Center. So the picture on the right is kind of storms happening, and the curve is kind of the Earth curves. So the way things work now in the United States is we have a NEXRAD radar system, which is kind of where weather forecasts get their data from. So they have these big radars deployed kind of all over the place. There actually isn't one close to where I live. There's one in Boston, and there's one somewhere in New York. So they're really large. They really just scan the surrounding space. And because of the Earth's curve, they actually don't catch a lot. So like I would live way down at the bottom there in Gap, where they're actually not seeing tornadoes and things. So in CASA, they call this the sensing gap, basically that these radars are stupid. They just kind of scan around. They're really big, and they're very coarse. Okay, so they don't really see too much. So in Williamstown, Massachusetts, we're not going to be able to see tornadoes that are about to hit us. So what CASA wants to do basically is make the system smarter. So instead of having this one big area, those two dots, let's say, are tornadoes, we have something like this, where we have a bunch of slightly smaller radars that are smarter. Okay, so you're going to be able to point in specific directions. So in the upper left here, you can see one pointing. You're going to be able to get multiple views. So you can have two radars pointing at kind of the same thing. And what these smaller radars can do is, since there are more of them, you can get some finer spatial resolution. You can actually focus your energy. So this is one point of actuation. Focus the energy on a smaller section of the sky. So you're not just doing one large scan, but you're doing a very focused scan, getting a higher quality section of the part that's important. And you can see a lot more. All right. So when I say actuation, this is kind of what I'm talking about, being able to point a physical device in a certain direction, apply more or less power to it to get higher quality data or more data about what you actually want to see. So just as an example, so CASA's, I mean, this is kind of a more forward-looking project than what CASA actually has deployed. Right now, CASA has a big test bed in Oklahoma that is actually operational. And one of the things they're really proud of is their test bed actually made it into a National Weather Service tornado warning. So Mike was really instrumental in getting this test bed up and running. And basically what happened here is that the National Weather Service can see the radars that are running in Oklahoma and the data they're outputting. They're not actually supposed to use it to predict anything. But during this tornado in 2007, they were able to see something using the CASA network that they just couldn't see using the NEXTRAD radar network. And the people there decided, well, we're not supposed to do this, but we're going to put it in the tornado warning because it's important. We want people to know about the tornado. So this is just kind of a real-world example of how, you know, being able to experiment with better actuation can result in, you know, benefits to society or whatnot. So we're in cluster D, which is the ORCA cluster. So I actually came from the ORCA group, so I know a little bit about ORCA. So we're basically kind of getting from ORCA for this project is ORCA has something that looks kind of like the basic Gini structure and interfaces, maybe if you squint, as Larry said the other day about PlanetLab. It provides some mechanisms for federation and a federation model that, again, is something like the Gini structure. It also provides a whole bunch of code for doing a basic, you know, virtual machine-based slivering of compute nodes. And like as Jeff and Ilya pointed out yesterday, they're looking at kind of more internal optical networks now down there. Provide some basic scheduling policies for arbitrating these resources between slices and a management portal and infrastructure for actually using the system in some way. So that's us there in the circle. So what we're really focused on is basically we want to take all of that stuff and use it, and we're focused on actually getting our physical infrastructure out. So these nodes we're developing, and even the radars, are something that have kind of been developed in-house. A previous grad student who's now gone, actually, he was an ECE grad student, actually hacked up this radar and basically reverse engineered it so we could actually control the actuation. And just getting kind of the infrastructure built. And then really focusing on how do we virtualize and expose these actuators in a consistent, fair, and predictable manner to applications so that we can sliver sensing actuators. So we're looking at doing this in Xen since that's basically where a bulk of ORCA was focused on originally. And so looking at extending that. And then basically taking all of these new this new infrastructure and these new mechanisms and then kind of integrating them into the ORCA framework. So this basically amounts to these new VM and slivering mechanisms and some new policies for being able to arbitrating these between slices. And then basically running a publicly available test bed so that different people can experiment with actuation the same way that CASA is able to do it now. So you know, initially what we're looking at is this being very useful in-house for people at CASA who right now have this one monolithic system that they kind of talk about a lot. They implement and come up with algorithms for how things should work, and then they go out and they implement it. And it's kind of very much a batch, you know, talk about it, implement it. And we want people to be able to kind of be experimenting with this all at the same time. So a much more fluid environment. And also the kind of the infrastructure we're deploying, while we're right now focused on actuation, I think the infrastructure is useful for a range of other things that we're maybe not focused on right now, but maybe focused on in the future. One of which is long distance 802.11 communication. So Mike has a lot of projects going on with wireless measurements using that infrastructure. Something else is just the energy aspect of all of this, being able to incorporate energy-constrained devices or devices that are perpetual, that are collecting energy from the sun or the environment. So those are kind of avenues for the future. Kind of our specific integration plans now, like I said, Vice is a self-contained test bed. We want to kind of leverage some of the ORCA software and federate through an ORCA clearinghouse with some of the other cluster D projects, one of which is actually at UMass too, as Brian Levine talked about yesterday. and integrate some of the new mechanisms we're looking at and infrastructure into that Orca framework. And then we're also looking at kind of, you know, how experimenters will use it. So different ways to control your slices, and in particular looking at Gush out of Williams, which is also in Western Massachusetts, ironically, how users could maybe leverage Gush to take advantage of this test bed. And there was something in the, I think, an email sent out about interfaces, you know, like control plane operations and management. So we're just kind of right now listening in terms of control plane and operations and management. You know, the Orca group and Genie as a whole, I think, have a kind of said a lot about the control plane interfaces, and there's probably some more to say about operations and management. We're really focused on actually is the experiment data plane, and in particular this virtual sensor interface. What does that look like when you kind of split control of actuators? How is that going to look to an application running? So with that, I have one more slide. So I'll just say, demos timeline. So right now, the demo for March, we're looking to get the infrastructure deployed and out there, kind of the default demo you run for these radars is something like you see on the weather channel or whatever with a reflectivity overlay being able to sense the weather and get some initial Orca integration out there and get Orca running. And then demo 5, or GEC 5, I think the goal for Spiral 1 is end-to-end slices. So we're looking at, you know, doing that, getting end-to-end slices across VICE and these sensing actuators in a compute cluster. So that is it. Questions?